Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
What's up? What's up? Welcome in. Winning cures everything. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
And this
got the segment we were doing
is the college football big game previews for week number 14. Rivalry week, baby. That's right. That's right. We got some big games to discuss.
We do.
Game day is going to Minneapolis.
I love the choice.
We got the game.
I think that's the right game to go to.
I think it is. It's the one that has the most ranking implications, yep. The most whatever you want to call it.
Well, you just went to Ohio State. You've been to Bama, and you haven't been to Auburn yet. But it didn't. I just don't know that either of those games. You have
the
to
winner
reward
of this
Minnesota.
Game. The winner of this goes to Minnesota.
And the winner of this game goes to the Big Ten Championship game.
That's what I'm saying.
But you have to reward Minnesota. You didn't go to Minnesota when you went for the Penn State game.
Yeah.
And this is a game you got to reward them. They've had a season unlike any other in the history of their school. And I think you got to reward them.
Yeah, I think so too.
I love going to this game.
And they get to go in the snow.
Yeah, if it snows, I'm very partial to snow games just for the viewing optics. I've been to one my entire life. I'd never want to go again.
What game was it?
Fat guy. Amazingly enough, Mississippi State Auburn years ago.
Really?
Mississippi State Arkansas years ago. Lee, who was the defensive coordinator, never wore socks. Little short, squatty guy.
Lee something.
Coach, I know who you're talking about. Jackie Sherrill's team.
Joe Lee Dunn.
That's it. I knew it was the three-name, good Mississippi three-name guy. Joe Lee Dunn, at one point in time, Mississippi State is getting housed. We are standing in what is now about 6 inches of ice covering our feet in the stadium. And it's my senior year of high school. Holy crap. And I'm wanting to leave. The other two people that I'm with are big State fans, and they are not going anywhere.
Was this in Starkville?
It's in Starkville.
Okay.
In Starkville. And at one point in time, while Mississippi State is getting drummed, Joe Lee Dunn goes over to the defensive side of the ball and just starts cussing the players because they are all wrapped up, bundled up, and I think he's wearing like a polo, and that is in like some khakis. And he is just talking about saying things that today you would be fired, calling them lady parts. I mean, it was an old school thrashing by Joe Lee Dunn. And I remember
that's what it was like 20 years ago.
I remember laughing so hard because these State fans are making me sit through this, and their team is getting their butt whipped.
Was Houston Dale at Arkansas?
I could not tell you anything else.
I'd be willing to bet that's who that was.
Yeah, probably.
I bet it was Houston Nutt against Jackie Sherrill.
No, I was about to say Houston Nutt was there for a while. It was definitely before he got to Ole Miss.
So that was our senior year?
Yes.
What was that, 2001?
2001. Well, yes, 2001. No, 2000 football season. We graduated 2001.
That's right. 2000 Arkansas versus Mississippi State. I'm going to pull it up and see what happened.
Come on.
Let's see.
I was with a friend of mine who was one of my closest friends at the time. Love the guy still. And he was being recruited by Mississippi State, so we got recruit tickets. We were sitting real low down.
And that was in Starkville. And let's see, Mississippi State was number 13.
Yes, Mississippi State was supposed to be really good. They weren't that day.
And I think, what did they get beat, 31 to?
I told you the extent of what I remember of that game.
Are you sure it wasn't
our junior year? It was either, I mean, I know I was still in high school.
This one was in Starkville, but
it was either our senior or junior year because I wasn't playing. I tore my knee to pieces 2 years before that.
Oh, no. Mississippi State did get beat.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That is just remarkable. 17-10. Huh.
Well, it wasn't. I'll tell you this. It wasn't that close.
Well, no. See, back then, 17-10 was kind of a whipping.
It wasn't that close.
It's a little different nowadays.
And old Jack.
But that's fantastic.
Jackie didn't take his hands out of his pockets, and Joe Lee Dunn, I think, was wearing a polo and some khakis.
And it was about 30 degrees outside.
And it was just sleet. Yeah. Coming down, it was started as snow, and then when it hit the hit the stands, it all froze. And I just remember standing in ice.
That is
like
nuts.
I remember picking my feet out of a slushy.
Yeah, it looked like there was a decent number of people there, but it wasn't full.
Oh no!
By any stretch,
we were in the recruiting area, and there was nobody within 10 or 12 feet of us.
That's nuts. That is nuts. All right. Of course, the show is Winning Cures Everything.
I don't know how we got started on that.
I don't know, but it was pretty fantastic.
Anyway, that's my story.
But yeah, so of course, the show, Winning Cures Everything. You can find us over at winningcureseverything.com. All of our videos, podcasts, picks, previews, everything else, our social media platforms, our Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that that like button. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. And leave us some comments. Tell us what you think about the show. Tell us what you think about this week's matchups. We would love to hear your opinions on it, along with our own, of course. We're going to go through a lot of games this week, and there's a lot that you can bet on. It's Thanksgiving week. If you need to get out of the house for a little bit, you want to go down and get some money on some games, go to Tunica. TunicaTravel.com is the place to go. Tunica, Mississippi is the South's premier sports gambling destination. They got 6 incredible sports books. You need to go check them out. They are fantastic.
Long weekend. Got to get away from the family at some point in time.
Tunica is a good place to go.
This is this time of year, and then during Christmas time, I get just enough of family to where it's like, all right, I got to get the hell out of there. This year, we're doing Thanksgiving at my mama's house. She lives in Robinsonville, right down the road from the casino. So now, I don't even have a drive, man. I can just bebop right out the road. I'm
bebop right down the road.
I'm going to be there.
I like it. I like it a lot. So, let's go ahead and fire into this. Let's see. We're already 6 minutes into this thing.
I apologize for the story.
Oh no, don't. It's fantastic.
Hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was good stuff. It was good stuff. So let's jump into game number one. Game day is going to be there.
Yes.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, TCF Bank Stadium. You got Wisconsin, a 2.5-point favorite at Minnesota. Total is 47 on this. It's a 2:30 game on ABC, so it is directly opposite of the Iron Bowl. So, if you got 2 TVs, this would be a good reason to do that, right?
I think it'll be a 2-TV situation.
Oh, 100%. Okay, if you are a massive football fan and you don't have 2 TVs, come on now.
Or a laptop, an iPad, there's so many
something.
Streaming options.
You got to have 2 screens. That's all I'm saying.
Just your phone's fine.
There you go.
Watching a snow football game on TV, just there's not a whole lot more that I like.
There will not be snow at the Iron Bowl.
No. No, it'll be like
so. It's going to be 75. No, it's going to be 70 degrees.
Holy crap. Yeah. All right. I knew it would be at least mid-50s.
Yeah, it's going to be 70 degrees in Auburn, Alabama. So, Wisconsin, 1-4 against the spread in their last 5. But the offense gained 603 yards against Purdue last week. That is their highest total in 5 years.
Purdue.
Not
having the defensive year that they wanted.
No, they're not. the weather, it's a high of 37. It's a 90% chance of rain/snow. They're expecting more snow than rain.
It won't be pretty if it's rain/snow.
No, it won't be pretty. It'll be nasty, and it'll be Big Ten football.
It'll be nasty.
So, like we said, game day's first time at Minnesota. Minnesota goes and gets the win against Northwestern last week. They gave up 22 points to Northwestern.
Who's more bundled up on game day?
Who is more bundled? Well, they got heaters under that thing. David Pollack. Okay. Okay, David Pollack is 100% more bundled up.
I would have said Desmond.
No, man. He's going to be right up there with the heaters and all that. He doesn't really get out in the crowd much.
Oh, no, you're right. Because you're right. Pollack has to do all the hits all the way away from it.
He's wandering around.
And he's a Southern boy.
He ain't down with all that.
You're like, right. You got the right
pick. Absolutely
you got
not.
The right pick.
And so Pollack, I think, I mean, Maria Taylor, she's going to have something stylish on.
Oh, she's going to look great.
Yeah. Pollack.
Pollack's going to look good, too, because he's a handsome man, but.
I've heard some crazy stories about him.
All right,
I've heard he's nuts.
Dan Wetzel's the Yahoo Fantasy, not Yahoo, Yahoo Football Podcast.
Yeah,
that's it. College Football Podcast. That's it. Who was it? Pat Forty told some kind of it. They took they did the they went with the same shtick we did about the the Anchorman dueling game day situation.
Yeah, how nuts is that, by the way?
Yeah, we both have the same idea. But those guys are the best writers in the business. I don't think they knocked off anybody. I think that's kind of a common thing that maybe a lot of people talked about that we did, too.
I feel good that we had the idea first.
I like that ours got out there first so it didn't look like we were copying them.
Yes.
I'm almost certain none of those guys follow us and copied us.
It'd be great, though.
I would.
Pat, Dan, if you're listening, you're welcome to come on at any point.
Right, anytime. We'll give you the Winning Cures bump. But one of the it was Pat. Pat talked about how when he was at ESPN, he said Pollock's a maniac.
Yeah.
Like Pollock is, and there's a reason he played linebacker.
Yes.
He did not have the sophistication to play offense. He is a maniac. And I was like, oh man, now I kinda like David a lot more than I did before before going into that.
If you listen to the ESPN College Football Podcast with him and Kevin Negandhi, like,
I need to check that out.
He's nuts. Pollock is insane, man. Like, he does hold back.
I always liked him at Georgia. He was the one Georgia guy I kind of liked. I never really liked Georgia, but I always liked him. When he got hurt his senior year, I was like, man, because he reminded me of Vrabel, and I kind of thought, that guy's going to look like a Patriot. He looks like a Patriot.
Yeah, yeah.
Can he just take over and be linebacker? He broke his neck. All right. He won't be Vrabel.
Anyway. No, but he put on a bunch of weight, and then he wanted to get rid of it, and in doing so, I think he went a little crazier than he already was. I mean, that dude walks around eating kale chips and stuff. It's like, dang, man, you know, like he's crazy. Herb Street said he's vegetarian or vegan, maybe. One or the other.
You'll drop a bunch of LBs doing that.
You got that right. All right, so Wisconsin, Minnesota, back to the ball game.
Great.
Wisconsin is a 2.5-point favorite. The winner of this game does go to the Big Ten title game to face Ohio State. That matchup, that side of it anyway, the East, has already been decided. But this one, Wisconsin, had two losses back several weeks ago. They have worked their way back up. Minnesota got the one loss that Wisconsin needed them to get. And Wisconsin, remember, Wisconsin's playing with revenge here.
Yes.
Minnesota went into their house and beat the brakes off them last year, 37-15. I understand that Wisconsin is only 1-4 against the spread in their last five, but they have won all those games.
Yep.
And that, I take that back. They lost two. They lost the Illinois game and the Ohio State game. The other ones, they won them. Like, they beat Purdue by 22, I think, 21, whatever it was. I think they were favored by 24. Like, I'm not going to hold that against you. You're only favored by 2.5 here. Basically, better team wins and covers.
We're trying to win a game right here.
If
it's under a field goal, you're picking a winner.
As far as picks go, I'm picking Wisconsin here.
Whew.
There is not. There's a rivalry here.
I know. No, and this is the reason this is rivalry week.
Yeah, and they would love nothing more
than to knock off Minnesota.
In their historically good year.
Yep.
So I mean, Wisconsin's just the better team.
They are the better team. They
like
are
statistically,
the better team.
On paper, on it, just looking at them, everything.
So all year, I was riding high on Wisconsin. There was a day and a time where I had Wisconsin number one in the country.
Oh, yeah.
They had the resume to be justified as number one in the country.
Look at this.
Way.
If they don't lose to Illinois, if they don't have three turnovers.
They've got the one loss. It's to Ohio State. Then
they're still
in
the playoff.
They got a shot at Ohio State redemption, which absolutely gets them in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's still a contender.
100% right. How they lost that game, still don't know. We were in Chicago when that happened. Kind of weird.
Turnovers.
So as high as I was on Wisconsin all year, I kind of started falling for this Minnesota team.
I can understand it.
I think I'm gonna take the 2.5 points, and I'm gonna take Minnesota to win.
Okay.
Minnesota that goes up. Against everything I believe, because you know how much I love Wisconsin.
Yes.
I watched a game. I don't remember what week it was, but me, you, and the Northwestern guys were on our group text. Man, I got a lot of stories tonight. And get a little coffee in me. Pretty late night, I get a little crazy. And I watched a tackle, their right tackle, pull. And it's like a pitch play. He is running step for step with Jonathan Taylor in the wide open field. And Taylor's not catching him. And then he has some linebacker or really big safety. It was either a small linebacker or a big safety that he squares up. And that guy is all four extremities off the ground. And in the air and flying backwards, and then he just stops and does a big flex, and that's when Taylor blows by him.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, he went a good 7 or 8 yards and Taylor didn't catch him. You're not supposed to be that big, that strong, and that fast. That's just not how the human body's supposed to work. Don't know who that guy is. That guy will be playing on Sundays.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their entire line might be playing on Sundays.
I love this Wisconsin team. It's hard for me to pick against them. I think here I'm going to.
That makes sense.
I really like what P.J. Fleck has done.
It's a fun story.
You're
pulling for the fun story.
I find this Minnesota team very endearing, and that's why I'm picking. They're at home. I'm catching points. That's the list of the reasons why I'm doing it.
I'm going with the better football team.
And I'm not going to be upset if that happens. I'm not wagering on this game at all, making a pick in a game in a big game spot.
Yeah, I can understand it. You ready for next matchup?
Yeah, come on.
Let's do it. All right. We won't be as long on all of these. Yeah. Ohio State is a 9-point favorite at Michigan right now. Total is 50.5. It's 11 a.m. on Fox. Fox is basically every big Ohio State game has been 11 a.m. this year.
Well, every big game they have has been 11. They have found a, if you listen to the Wins and Losses podcast by Clay Travis, he's had the guy that's kind of in charge of Fox.
What is it, Mike Moldaville?
I forgot his name, and I should have looked it up because I knew I was going to talk about this. They specifically sought out, we're going to put our best game on noon because the bump coming straight in off of game day has always been that first set of games terrible, but everyone watches them. And then you get into 2:30 games and you're competing with all the other conferences.
Yeah,
best games.
SEC.
We're just going to take the bump. Everybody's watching game day.
Everybody will be watching at 11.
And they're going to immediately move over to this game and they get a massive number. And they're pulling bigger numbers than everybody but the SEC game. It's really
last
smart.
Week,
it's really smart.
Ohio State, Penn State did 9.63 million viewers. Yeah. The highest rated game outside of Alabama LSU.
Yes, I was about to say that's the only game that's
and they've had multiple.
In this game, this game is going to beat that game. By the way,
yeah,
I think by a lot.
Oh yeah, I think so. I think this game will be massive.
Yeah,
because I mean it is every year. I mean, every single year. Here, I've got the...
But now it's got that time slot that they've just seemed to look at the analytics and say, we're here and we're doing this.
Let's see. All right, it was 9.43 million last week. The 11 a.m. Fox game, let's see, Michigan State. Michigan was 3.94 million.
That's Michigan State not being...
Hey, Penn State, Minnesota did 6.74 million.
Well, I knew that. That was an incredible football game. I watched every second of that.
Let's see. We had Nebraska Purdue did 2.7 million.
Yeah.
Nobody should have watched that game.
That's two teams that aren't going to bowl games, mate. Well, I guess Nebraska got bowl eligible.
Here we go. Wisconsin and Ohio State did 6.65 million.
Yeah.
So, and that was the same day as Auburn LSU. Auburn LSU had 7.18.
That's right.
So, and had you had them both at 2:30?
Neither one of them are getting what they get. So, you're right.
Let's see. And then let's go back one more. Let's see. Fox, West Virginia, Oklahoma. Yeah. West Virginia, Oklahoma, which wasn't even a game.
No.
Did 2.54 million.
Yep.
So, and it was number seven on the day, number eight on the day, but still 2.54 million.
No, this has been a great win for Fox. Looking at analytics and not trying to say everything's got to be prime time now, being an SEC guy. I'm really glad that nobody in the SEC has done that.
Yeah.
Because we like these 2:30 games. I like the later games. Most people do. But
I would love to get away from 11 a.m. games. And I think it works better up there anyway. 11 a.m. games down here, especially early in the year, are hot.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Disgusting.
No, you and I live closest to Oxford. That field at 11 a.m., oh, yeah, it's 120, 130 degrees in September.
Yeah, it's bad.
You kill a man.
You got that right. But up there, I mean, you're talking 75 degrees and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right. So Ohio State, 50.5 is the total on this. It's at the Big House in Ann Arbor. Michigan has been playing lights out football right now. The total has come from 53 down to 51 because the weather looks like it's going to be disgusting. High of 37 here as well. Wintry mix for the entire game. And it's a 60 to 70% chance of that. Now, obviously, things can change. We're recording this on Tuesday night. look, Justin Fields, the wrist issue thing is legit.
Yep.
They've already wrapped up the Big Ten East.
Yep.
I don't think that this game doesn't mean as much for them because, like, obviously Michigan isn't playing for anything more than pride. But at what point, I mean, if you're looking for a Big Ten title and a national championship, how much danger do you put Justin Fields in?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I don't think he doesn't play. I think he.
I mean, he'll play.
He's going to play every snap unless he gets hurt.
I wonder if they run him a lot because they did last week. And in another situation like this,
let's take an opportunity for him to get hit more.
No, I'm saying that they don't run him a lot.
Okay, all right. I thought you were saying run him because his wrist hurt. Maybe he won't throw it so accurate. But I was thinking running him sounds like a terrible idea.
Well, So that's what makes Justin Fields great, yep. Right? Is his ability to get out of the pocket and make plays.
I agree.
And they ran him a ton against Penn State last week.
Correct.
And that's, you know, at this point in the season, you're playing for a national championship. That's something that you got to do.
Yeah, you got to do whatever
you
got to win.
You got
to
let him loose, let him go. Georgia didn't let him do this, so you got to let him go out and make plays.
Completely.
Because that's what he does. But in a situation like this, I mean, if you sit him back in the pocket, is he good enough to beat Michigan, especially when it's rainy and sleeting and 37 degrees outside, and you're playing a defense that is playing lights.
This is the best defense they've played all year. And it's not close, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not going to be close compared to the other teams that they've played so far defensively. So here's what I think. I think the rain, the wintry mix, we watched Michigan beat the hell out of Notre Dame in a monsoon.
Yeah.
Michigan is not afraid of an ugly, muddy mess. They want this. This lines up for them so well. And Ohio State's offense is so much about speed and precision and timing and just, we're going to be better athletes than you. But when that rain is coming down and it gets cold, and Fields is a Southern guy, he's not Mr. Ohio, okay? Now, Shea Patterson didn't either, but he's shown that he can play in the cold and in the rain.
People have really looked past Michigan this year.
Completely. You know? But the Army game and the Minnesota game, or the Army game and the Wisconsin game, is all anybody talks about. I mean, we covered it in our live stream of doing the top
playoff
25
reaction
show.
Yeah.
And people still brought up, well, what about Army game? Like, dude, that was week two, man. I don't know what to tell you.
That
was so long ago.
Listen to this. Opponent yards per play, 3.53 is number one. That's Ohio State. Michigan is number three. They're only giving up 4.08 yards per play. And that's after they got demolished by Wisconsin.
I was just about to say, think about how Wisconsin inflates that number.
And then Penn State had some big plays against them. Like, this is going to be a really difficult game for Ohio State.
I completely agree.
The percentages, let's see. MyTeamsBetter.com gives Ohio State a 64.58% chance to win the game. Now, I don't think that that's totally accurate.
64% is not great, though.
No, it's not. But
you're talking about a team that everyone has number one in the country. They should be 75-plus to win their games, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you look at some of these other ones, like, LSU is only 59% to beat Texas A&M. Clemson is 72% to beat South Carolina. Georgia, 82% to beat Georgia Tech.
I don't understand how any of these numbers.
Here's how their system is set up on this site. And this is just one site, right? But it's stats one percentage plus FBS average rank percentage plus their winning percentage times their opponent's winning percentage. Like, it's just a formula that they threw together that has actually been pretty successful.
Okay.
So, you know, they give Ohio State a 64% chance. It ain't as good a chance as Clemson going to South Carolina.
Well, obviously not.
Or Georgia against Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, those are two bad teams.
Now, I do wonder. I bet the ESPN FPI is different. Like, I'm sure it's probably 75% for Ohio State.
I'd agree with that.
And I'll actually pull that up. So, we'll see here. But, yeah, I'm curious. if for no other reason than you and I both really think Michigan has a really, really good shot. Like, this is a coin flip game to me.
I'm absolutely going to take 9 points. That's not questionable. And I'm going to take Michigan to win the game outright.
Let's see. Yeah, so FPI gives Ohio State a 73.9% chance to win this game. I don't think that's accurate.
I don't either.
Especially with the weather.
God, 80%? Are you kidding me? They might win the game. That doesn't mean I just don't think that you should just assume that it's an 80% chance they're going to.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I totally agree with you. So, I will say this. I think that Ohio State finds a way to get it done, because until I see Michigan beat Ohio State, I'm going to go with Ohio State. But I don't think that they cover. I think this is a super close game. Yep. I will take Ohio State to win. I'll take Michigan in the points there. You calling the upset here?
Yeah. I think you've got a team that's desperate against a team that's riding really high. This is Ryan Day has looked incredible. Ryan Day looks like he has not made a mistake all year. I just don't think this team's been hit in the mouth yet. And that Wisconsin team that they played is not close. I know Wisconsin beat Michigan. That's why you can't use circular reasoning. That Wisconsin team that they played ain't close to this Michigan team. That Penn State team also beat Michigan. Not close to this Michigan team right now.
Yeah.
Just not close.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, let's move on to the next one. Alabama, a 3.5-point favorite at Auburn. Total is 50 in this game. Kind of a low total.
Yep.
2:30 p.m. on CBS is at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Weather is supposed to be 70 degrees and cloudy. There will be rain in Auburn, but it ain't coming until later that night. So conditions will be fine for the ball game. Alabama being the favorite, you have to expect that, right?
Like I was shocked.
You were shocked that they were the favorite?
Yeah.
Now, the look-ahead line when they still had Tua... was Alabama minus 9.5.
That makes sense.
Now, oh no, it was Alabama, I think, minus 7.5. It was Alabama minus 7.5.
If it was 9.5, I would have taken Auburn all day long.
Well, yeah.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know what that is.
My wife is trying to find my phone.
Oh, man. The stuff that happens during the show, I swear. They were 7.5-point favorites, and then the line came out, and they opened as 2.5-point favorites. And it was bet up to 4, and now it's sitting at 3.5. I don't think that I agree with it, because what you're saying there is that losing Tua is only a 5-point difference. Yep. And if the line is 4, you're saying that Alabama is a 7-point favorite over Auburn without Tua on a neutral field.
I think Tua, this is a 7-point game. That's where I would have set the line.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's a good, fair line. Okay.
But without Tua.
Without Tua, I think this is a pick'em game at worst.
Yeah.
And a 1 or 2 point game for Auburn.
So
here's the thing. Auburn went into Death Valley.
Yeah.
On the road, gave LSU all they wanted.
Well, now
LSU, I know you can't always do circular reason, but LSU went into Alabama on a game day situation. 150,000 people, crazy, and kind of whipped up on Alabama until late in the second half. And so you take those teams. Auburn's played one, going to play the other one, but they get them at home. You take the best player on the team out of that game. I just think it's really hard to say.
Look, LSU dominated Auburn. LSU gave up some really inopportune turnovers.
They were
very opportune for Auburn.
But I think Auburn's defense is like that, though. Auburn's the best defense in the SEC.
Yes, they're definitely the best
defense that LSU played all year. They're going to be the best defense LSU, Alabama's going to play all year.
This quarterback
is going to be tested.
LSU's post-game win expectancy against Auburn was still 95%.
Yeah.
They were up 23-13, and they gave up a garbage-time touchdown.
And we did the same thing to Alabama to make it look close.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is, you look at that, and it wasn't a 23-20 game. That was the final score.
That's right.
But LSU dominated that game. They had 508 yards against Auburn. They had 5.77 yards per play.
I watched the game a little differently than looking at scores. I always do.
Yeah.
And what I saw in that game is their front seven just give us complete hell.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That, and that's it. And you've got an inexperienced coach, quarterback back there. This is not the best offensive line Alabama's ever had. Going up against one of the best defenses you're going to ever go up against, I just think this is an opportunity for Moore to make mistakes.
Now, I will say this. Auburn's problem all season
scoring
has been scoring. Like, if you go
your
through,
defense ain't great, okay? The reason they were able to score against LSU some is because
as far
our
as,
defense ain't great.
As far as efficiency goes, Alabama is a top 10 defense as far as efficiency. Now, they're not great at stuff rate. They're not great at stopping the run, and that's what Auburn does best, right? But Bo Nix makes mistakes. He makes a lot of mistakes. So
I wonder if Gus is going to let him make mistakes. I think you know how Gus gets. If he can run the football 90% of the game, he's going to run it every snap.
Oh, yeah. And here's where the issue is for me and why I think that Auburn will ultimately win the football game is Raekwon Davis and DJ Dale, starting defensive linemen for Alabama, are still day-to-day right now.
I was just about to say, I don't know how healthy you guys are.
Alabama's not at all. And
you're not elite anyway on defense like you usually are. So it's not like you're losing two of the best defensive players in the game. If these guys are starting already, and they're really good, by the way, I don't know who I trust behind them. And then that's just a little bit extra depth against a team that's going to push the depth of the defensive front.
Yes.
Because of the way they run. And the worst thing about Auburn is Auburn doesn't just line up and run between the guards and run between the tackles. We talk about this. They run it as far outside as they can run it over and over and over again.
So that's a note that I put in here. So this is what I'm scared of here, right? And so first, we'll start with the fact that Auburn, they're scoring, like in conference, you know, they scored 51 on Arkansas. No big deal. Okay. Like, we get that. They scored 56 on Mississippi State. That makes sense because everybody's doing that.
I'd say, yeah.
They scored 28 against Texas A&M back in early...
Week four?
Oh, that was, yeah, week four, back in September. But aside from those, they scored 13 on Florida. They scored 20 on LSU, and that was with a late touchdown.
You're right.
They scored 20 against Ole Miss, who is garbage on defense. They scored 14 against Georgia.
Weird.
Yeah. I mean, they have not been able to score. They scored 24 on Tulane. You know, like Memphis put up 50 on Tulane. Like
Memphis is a far superior offensive team than them, though.
Agreed. But here's what I'm terrified of. Alabama's problem on defense this year has been blown assignments, right? Like that's the biggest thing.
If you go in, if you don't protect the oh my god, not the line of scrimmage, the edge. If you don't protect the edge, those guys are fast when they hand the ball off and they run those sweeps.
Anthony Schwartz,
Schwartz is taken to the house,
and Eli Stove. They have 18 carries for 175 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Is Schwartz the fastest player in college football?
I believe that's right.
I mean, that guy is like speed demon, just doesn't explain it.
They position Auburn to take advantage of assignment breakdowns by Alabama's defense. Remember, Alabama's defense is still super, super young. Those linebackers and whatnot. I mean,
it's
Alabama's,
so funny how LSU and Bama are just prototypes of one another.
Yeah,
right
just
now.
Mirror images.
This year, I've never seen two teams look so similar.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. It's pretty insane. But to be fair, Auburn's issue is not the defensive line. Their issue is their linebackers and their secondary.
They're inexperienced on the back half of their defense.
Well, but that's the thing. They're experienced, but they're just not very good.
Okay.
So because they've got a lot of upperclassmen. They've got guys that have been there, but they haven't gotten any better. And so long as you can get the ball to the wide receivers. Now, Najee Harris has been playing out of his mind. But where are you going to – like, you're going to have to get him the ball in space. You're going to have to do a lot of screens, a lot of post routes.
What he did against LSU, he's not doing against Auburn.
Agreed.
He's just not. That stuff's not going to be there against them.
And that's the issue, that won't be there. But the wide receivers will be able to get out in space – you just got to make sure that Mac Jones can get him the ball.
I think it's going to have to be
a lot of quick passes.
I think it's going to be hard.
Oh, I agree.
I think he's going to struggle in this game.
So my guess is, obviously I'm going to pick Alabama because
I got you.
I have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
But my brain is telling me it's going to be a really difficult game for Alabama.
I think Auburn wins the game outright. And I've been saying that ever since Tua went down.
You've been saying that since before Tua went down.
Well, I thought Auburn had a shot to beat them. I didn't think it was a foregone conclusion that Auburn would lose with Tua.
Yeah.
That Alabama would just moonwalk in and beat them with Tua. I didn't think that when Tua goes out, I don't think Bama can win this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I don't know. I'm taking Alabama because the way that they can win is you put pressure on Bo Nix and you make him make mistakes.
I just don't know that Gus is going to trust Bo in this game. Because you know how Gus gets in these big Alabama games. He gets pretty conservative.
Yeah.
And Bo, I don't think, has earned the right to be trusted. And if he does trust him, it's going to be in one of those spots where we need a play.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to see, can he make one play?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a really interesting game.
The biggest thing that you don't have to be afraid of that you normally do have to with Alabama is if he does take a couple of shots and he misses, y'all don't have the elite defensive backs to make him pay for it the way you have in the past. Your guys are still pretty young and inexperienced in the DB situation, too.
This is true. However, Alabama does lead the country in takeaways. Number 17.
That's fine.
So, not number 17, sorry. Number one, but it's 17 takeaways this year.
That's fine.
It can cost Auburn. If they're,
I want to know how many of those were on Kent State.
Oh, it did. I don't know. There was a bunch last week.
What I'm saying? Like at some point in time, yeah, you took them away from Ole Miss and Auburn and Arkansas. You didn't have a lot of takeaways in that A&M game. You had some, but not a lot.
No, not a lot. But
you didn't have any in the LSU game. Like, so there was one takeaway in the LSU. There was one the very first play of the second half.
Yeah. So it took it away from Burrow.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing. You get them to make a couple of mistakes, gives Alabama a shot.
If Gus puts it in the hands of Bo, then this loss will be on Gus.
Yeah.
That's just, there's no other way around it.
Run the ball 90% of the time.
Stop the run.
And you should be able to win.
This is going to be, they want to win, they got to play old school SEC football. Because that's the way their team is built.
Yeah.
Run the ball, stop.
And that's also the way that you can beat Alabama. Like, now, obviously LSU did it a different way. But LSU was able to do it with, Alabama mistakes and turnovers.
If you're going to beat them in a track meet, you got to be able to run the track meet.
Yep. You got that right.
Auburn can't run the track meet.
No, they
Georgia
cannot.
Can't run the track meet. If y'all play Georgia this year, if Georgia doesn't play you old school SEC football, Georgia can't beat you.
You are correct. All right, let's move on. Let's try and run these a little quicker. We got two more big matchups. These are both on Friday, and then we've got our interesting matchups that we'll do rapid fire style. Cincinnati at Memphis on Friday, 2:30 p.m. on ABC. The total is 57. Seems kind of low for a Memphis game. Memphis favored by 11. It's at the Liberty Bowl. No rain until after the game. The high is going to be 58. Cincinnati 1-4 against the spread in their last five. Memphis has been rolling, folks, ever since that SMU win. Game day came to town, gave Memphis a little boost, and they have been running teams. Cincy is undefeated in the AAC and are still an 11-point underdog here because they have not been able to dominate anybody. Like, they destroyed UConn, and that is their one cover in the last five games. They win by three against South Florida after trailing the entire game. Now, they found a way to win, but they trailed the entire game.
That's right.
And that's the same South Florida team that Memphis went the next week and beat them 49-10. Now, obviously, you can't look at matchups like that, but just for comparison's sake, I don't know what has happened to Cincinnati.
They're just trying to win and survive in advance.
Survive in advance, yes.
That's all they're doing.
But, man,
if they continue to survive in advance, they will be the New Year's Six
rep.
Group of Five team.
I mean, this is number 17 against number 18.
They don't need style points for that.
Yeah.
Nobody will have the resume they'll have.
Agreed.
They'll have one loss to Ohio State, who right now is currently number one in the country.
Yeah. What do you think about this?
I'm terrified of Memphis being an 11-point favorite. Now, Memphis is the desperate team. Memphis has to have this game. Cincinnati is playing for Group of Five New Year's Day Bowl.
Yeah.
But that's all they're playing for, because they lose this game.
And they're still in
the conference. They come right back next week to play Memphis a second time in Memphis for the championship game. So Memphis has to have this game, and Cincinnati doesn't. And I wonder how much that's going to play into one team is desperate and the other team. This game matters. See, I'm trying to say this game doesn't really matter. That New Year's Six bowl game, I think the American does the money differently, and it's not split evenly. I think the teams that go to the bowl games get the larger percentage.
Yeah, they do.
That New Year's Six bowl money will change Cincinnati's financial situation for years to come.
Yeah.
And so I think they are fighting for that. Because it's not SEC. We just split it evenly 14 ways. Thanks, Missouri, for not counting this year. We'll split it 13 ways, and we'll get a bigger piece of that pie. I like when that happens. Ole Miss, class a couple of years, help us all make a little more change.
Oh, yeah.
I think this – I'm scared of this game as a Memphis guy. Now, I'm going, and I'm excited about it. I'm actively afraid of this game, though.
I will tell you this. We did see this last year. Like the same exact scenario, UAB goes to Middle Tennessee State at the end of the year.
Not the same scenario.
I understand, because this, you have the New Year's Six stuff put in. But
how much money is that New Year's Six bowl matter far more than a regular bowl? Do you know the difference in money?
It pays, I think it's like $8 million for the conference, I think Cincy would get like 60 or 70% of that.
Yes. I mean, it's not an insignificant amount of money.
No, it's a lot for programs that only get $7 million from their TV.
A G5 that doesn't have the TV deals that the other schools have.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and UAB didn't have that.
I wonder how much the players worry about that, though.
Well, the players want to win every game.
Yeah. So that's what I'm wondering.
Look at the players. So, how much do the coaches care about that? Coaches care a lot because they're the ones that get paid that money.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how they make that money.
I will say this. The situation with UAB in Middle Tennessee. UAB goes to Middle Tennessee, loses 27-3, gets
looked like they
dominated.
Weren't even trying.
Yeah.
Went back the next week and beat the hell out of them.
So, yeah. They beat them the next week for the conference title because that's what mattered.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I think it's good for the conference as a whole, even though it might cost them a New Year's Six bowl. I think a Memphis-Cincinnati rematch is better for your championship game than a Cincinnati-Navy game.
Yes.
And I know this is me crapping on the academies again. I'm not trying to, but while I appreciate what they do, when they play one another, I think it's awesome. When they play other teams, it's sometimes tough to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I will take Memphis here.
I'll take Memphis to win. I'll take Cincy to cover. I rarely do that. I like picking the winner and the cover at the same time.
I'm going to take Memphis to cover both, like to win and
11
and
just is a lot of points.
It's a lot, but it also makes me think, okay, a lot of people should be thinking that Cincy would cover this. Mm-hmm. And
I wonder where the money is right now. Hang on, let me just look that up.
So, well, that sounds good to me. So, Memphis straight up, Cincy plus 11 for you.
That's surprising. In Vegas, 73% of the people are on Memphis. That shocks me.
That's definitely strange. 73%. I mean, people love this Memphis team, man. And Cincy has not looked good.
Why not? Nationwide, teams that cover a whole lot towards the end of the year get pounded because
they cover
cover machines.
All right, let's move on. Next one. Another Friday game, 11 a.m. This one is on ABC. It's at Scott Stadium in Charlottesville, Virginia. Virginia Tech at Virginia. Virginia Tech is a 3-point favorite right now. Total is 47.5. It's going to be 56 and sunny. So it's going to be beautiful weather out there. Virginia has not beaten Virginia Tech since 2003. Virginia, 1-2 straight up and against the spread as a dog this year. A little surprising they were only a dog three times.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech has won and covered 6 of 7 since that September 27th demolition to Duke at home. They swapped out quarterbacks. I mean, Herndon. I think it's Herndon.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that guy. I'm bad at the pronunciations.
He has been incredible, but the biggest change has been their defense. Bud Foster finally got that defense to start doing what they're supposed to do. And they are playing lights out right now. Virginia Tech got into the ratings, or into the rankings. They're number 24 in the playoff rankings this week.
Deservedly so, I think.
This line opened as a pick 'em.
Yep.
The analytics say that Virginia should be about a 3-point favorite.
Yep.
Even on a neutral field. But Virginia Tech has been playing so much better the last like 6-7 weeks. You know, the only loss that they've had in their last 7 games was the 1-point loss at Notre Dame. The only cover,
they dominated and controlled that game.
Yep. The only cover that they didn't have was against Rhode Island. And yeah, it was just,
I was about to say,
whatever.
What was the, I don't know what the spread was of that.
The spread was like 24. I think they won by 14. They were trying stuff out.
That's right.
And
this is Bud Foster's last game.
Last regular season game.
I guess, yeah, because they win this, they'll get in the ACC championship game, and then they'll get a bowl game. This is last shot at Virginia, though, and that guy's made a living making Virginia's life hell.
Yeah. My brain tells me that I need to go with Virginia here.
The public is the biggest public play is going to be Virginia Tech. So if you want to go with the house, if you want to be on Vegas' side, which we kind of usually always like to be, you go with Virginia. Bronco Mendenhall is still a good coach.
No, he definitely is.
That's the one thing that scares me is Bronco. Anybody else on that sideline,
but
I'm easily taking Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech has looked so much better.
I know.
Like
I'm on Fuente.
I'm on Virginia Tech.
I'm on Fuente. I'm not getting off. I got off for a little bit at the beginning of the season. I want him to do well there. I think this is Bud Foster. Once again, he's made a career out of just making Virginia look bad.
Yeah.
And never losing this game.
Yeah, and I think he does the same thing.
And I
here.
Don't think he wants to go out a loser to Virginia.
No.
I think that defense is gonna have something for him. They're gonna struggle to score. Virginia Tech's just gotta don't turn the ball over. Don't make mistakes, and they win this game.
Yeah. You're 100% right. 100% right. All right, let's do our rapid fire very quickly.
Roll.
Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, Ole Miss at Mississippi State, the Egg Bowl. State is a 2.5-point favorite here. I like Ole Miss in this spot. Now, obviously, line, we don't make picks on these.
This
but
line is drunk as hell.
It opened as a pick 'em, right?
Hang on. I was texting you and some Ole Miss and Mississippi State friends, and this line opens as a pick, immediately goes Ole Miss -1, and then Mississippi State -2.5, then to Mississippi State to 3. Where is it settled
it's
now?
It's back to 2.5 now.
Back to 2.5. That all happened in less than 8 hours.
Yeah.
I've never seen a line move like that. I've seen it happen across a week. I've never seen, I'm talking this thing came out Sunday afternoon at 1. By
and then jumps all over
like
the
7:30, I'm texting you guys saying, every time I check the lines, the Ole Miss line is different.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I like the Rebels.
Mississippi State at home, they need this for a 6th win. But
I got a little insight into the fans on this game.
What, neither one of them wants to win, right?
Yeah. So I had for my birthday, another year older, a little wiser. I had nothing but Ole Miss and Mississippi State guys hanging out at the house watching football. And both of them, instead of talking trash and wanting to win this game, both of them were gladly saying, y'all keep the Egg Bowl this year. No. We're going to let you guys have it. Because both of them want a different coach, but they absolutely understand that if whoever wins this game is not being replaced. They will absolutely, yeah. They've done enough at those programs to save their job.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
That was kind of entertaining.
I mean, I think it's going to be an entertaining game.
It'll be a shit show.
Oh, yeah.
But it'll be fun to watch.
Neither team has a defense.
Having no dog in that fight, it will absolutely be fun to watch.
What's the total on it? You know? Whatever it is, I would probably go over. I'm thinking it's like 57, 58, maybe.
You'd go over? Ole Miss isn't going to work because they just.
Let's see. Total 58? Is 58. Yeah, I think I'd go over. Neither team can stop anybody.
Yeah, I would too.
So I think Ole Miss scores over 30. I think Mississippi State scores over 30. Like I don't see either defense being able to stop the other one. So and it's going to be a bunch of running. So there may not be.
This game's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, it is. And it's on Thanksgiving night. It's the only college football game that night. So I'm game for it. Now let's move on. Let's talk about Friday games. Washington State at Washington. It's a 6.5 point line, I believe. It may be at 7 now.
It is 7.
It is 7. Okay, so Washington minus 7. They have destroyed Washington State every year that Peterson has been there. Both of them are 6-5.
This is not the Washington teams that have been here the last couple of years.
Agreed, but it's also not the Washington State teams either.
Oh, yeah, this is per typical Washington State.
Washington State's been better than this the last 3-4 years.
I don't know. Last year they were better than this.
Yeah, the year before they had 10 wins. The year before that they had 8 or 9 wins.
8 or 9 wins, but that's not they're not great. They're good. They're not great.
So what I'm saying is, no, this isn't the same Washington teams, but they are at home, a chance to salvage the season.
Give Mike Leach a touchdown, you're a fool.
Hey, I would take Washington all day here.
Yeah, all right.
All
if
day.
If you want to do that, you call me.
Iowa at Nebraska is also on Friday. I am all over Iowa in this game.
What's the number?
5.5.
Yeah, it's more than a touchdown.
Now, it's at Nebraska. Nebraska needs this one for bowl eligibility.
You think that matters?
No.
I don't either.
I don't think Nebraska's very good. Their defense is terrible. And I understand that Iowa's offense isn't great by any stretch, but you're talking 5.5 points.
I'm never just like, there's a few teams that I enjoy watching fail.
And Nebraska's turned into one of those?
They haven't like historically always been that. But for some reason, when they had national hype for championship rank, I was just like, What are people talking about for them to not make a bowl game? They have the second best odds in the Big Ten
to win the national championship.
Yeah. I would really like to see them not get bowl eligible.
That'd be funny.
I just think this needs to show people you take your preseason rankings and you can roll them up real tight and shove them up your ass.
Texas A&M goes to LSU on Saturday night.
We're going to beat the shit out of them.
LSU minus 17. Now, I'll tell you this. I was thinking really hard about taking Texas A&M here because I thought Jimbo has really got this thing turned around. Like, they're looking all right. And then I saw the press conferences this week, and I saw Joe Burrow talking to the press and saying how excited, like, they are really looking forward to this weekend.
Jimbo's nephew sucker punched that dude last year.
Yeah.
They are coming with the stank.
Yeah.
They're going to beat the hell out of this team.
Joe Burrow started smiling at him, and they said, you know, what are you looking forward to? And they were like, it's another game day. It's another game day. And he started grinning. He looked like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone, man.
He does kind of look like that.
Oh, my God. I saw that, and I was like, they are never going to. They're going to score 70 in regulation.
He's not coming out of this game.
No.
He's not coming out of this game. And, yeah, they might score more this game than they've scored all year.
They might score more in this game than they did in 7 overtimes last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that was 72.
Yep.
Yeah, I could see him putting 70 something up.
Yep. No, I don't get tricked into the A&M number. Just don't do it.
Clemson plays at South Carolina on Saturday night. Clemson a 27.5 point favorite. If that line was at 28 or 28.5, I might jump South Carolina. What did you tell me? Like Muschamp,
Muschamp was told after beating Georgia by, and this is a friend of a guy who is uncles with a booster at South Carolina, and they made it clear no one expected them to beat Georgia. But when they did, he was informed, we do not care what happens the rest of the season. If you can beat Clemson and Georgia in the same year, you will get an extension. And I thought, this is an opportune time for you to tank the rest of the year and just watch Clemson film and get ready for them all year long. And I will tell you that my buddy who's a fan and his uncle who's a booster would have been totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Totally fine with that. And it looked like they were trying to win those other games, which you have to. Your coach and the kids want to win all the games. They're still playing college football. That's something fans talk about, not players and coaches. But he was kind of upset that you're trying – you're not looking great. I'd rather you not try and get ready for this game.
Yeah.
I don't know that they've got the horses to do it. I don't know that they're going to catch Clemson sleeping. But if he can hit them in the mouth, he'll be the first team all year to hit them in the mouth.
I mean, aside from North Carolina.
North Carolina didn't hit him in the mouth. I just think they got caught off guard. But nobody's played them physical yet.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a defense pressing that offense.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then last but not least, of course, Oklahoma, a 13-point favorite in Bedlam against Oklahoma State. Obviously, Spencer Sanders is not there. Tylan Wallace is not there. That's kind of a problem. Other than the fact that the Oklahoma State quarterback last week didn't look bad. He was 22 out of 29. Like, they just always find somebody to throw in there.
I was just about to say, Gundy makes all those guys.
And I really think they got a shot
here.
There's
too many points.
Yes, 13 points on the road in this matchup. I understand that Oklahoma, in some years, has beaten the crap out of them. Oklahoma State only lost by one.
Gundy's press conference today when talking about that team.
What did he say? It was
so they run the pistol.
No, he said they're a wishbone. They're a wishbone team disguised as a spread team.
Yeah, he said they're a wishbone team. They just disguise it as a spread.
Like Jalen Hurts has run.
I love the arrogance that he talked to.
Oh yeah,
he said, was like, Jalen Hurts has touched the ball. I was up at 2 in the morning, and nobody in here was up working at 2 in the morning. I love that man.
He's hilarious.
He's easy to not like if you're a little thin skinned or whatever. If you like a little tough, brash, ballsy. Talk a little shit. He's not afraid to.
No.
And if he talks trash and then gets his butt whipped, that's not going to stop him from talking trash.
No, he's going to keep going.
Yeah, he's just...
I love it.
I really like Mike Gundy a lot.
I love it. I thought it was great. And I think they got a shot to win the game.
I do too. I'm going to have money line on that. I'm going to have it.
Yeah, I can believe it.
It's going to pay out well.
It's 13 points. What is the money line?
Give me a second.
Let's see. Oklahoma...
I can get plus 360, and I'll take that plus 360.
That ain't bad. That ain't bad at all. All right, that is going to wrap up the college football previews for week number 14, Rivalry Week.
Great, great week of football.
How fantastic is that? So
Thanksgiving Day all the way through.
Yeah. All of these podcasts, previews, et cetera, are all going up at the same time. They will all be out for Wednesday for everybody that's going to be traveling and whatnot. We hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully it is profitable if you are going to put some money on these. We can't wait to talk about them, of course.
Be safe traveling.
Yes.
Please.
So don't forget, go over to winningcureseverything.com. All of our videos, podcasts, picks, previews. Subscribe on YouTube. Give us a like on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Leave a review and subscribe over on the podcast. All that wonderful stuff. All of that matters. We do appreciate you guys for doing it. We appreciate the support all the time. Go over to TunicaTravel.com. Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. TunicaTravel.com is the place to find all the information on all six of their sports books. We will see you all again next time. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.